looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, City of Boston Credit Union, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuaid, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Presented by Budweiser, Boston, this bus for you.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Just knowing what's coming off of the roster, what do you need this winter?
Rest. Now, it's season starts today, huh? That's the way it is. I always look at November 1st, like when I was a player, you know, time to start working out. And now, last year, I got here around this time, and we start working right away. We'll see where it goes. Players have, you know, to make decisions, obviously. We'll see where we at. I do feel that we have a good team, very athletic, very versatile, and you know, whatever the offseason takes us, we're going to be fine. We're going to be good.
It's Alex Cora today over at Fenway Park, giving you sort of the big picture of the Red Sox here. And I just the reason I like that comment, next year starts now. Starts now. It's November 1st. This is the reality of it. The offseason starts now. The Red Sox have already made some decisions regarding their team for 2019, and David Price has made a decision regarding 2019. He opted in. Eduardo Nunez has made a decision. He has picked up his option for next season, all of that. So 2019 has already begun. This is one of the great misconceptions about baseball, by the way. Opening days in the spring, wrong. 2019 starts now. So, because of the World Series, the Baseball Reporters has extended into November this year. We'll have a show today, tomorrow, and then that's it. We'll shut it down for the winter. Any baseball discussion will happen during the course of the day here, and at night with Adam Jones. But the Baseball Reporters, as you know, is a seasonal show. So, when they're playing games, and we'll return in the spring. 617-779-0985 is your number. We'll open up the phones right away. The Baseball Reporters postseason edition is presented by Budweiser. Boston, this Bud's for you. Also, thanks to our friends at MGM Springfield for sponsoring us here during this extended season. Again, 617-779-0985 is your number. We'll take your calls on anything and everything Red Sox here as they enter what is an important offseason for them. You heard Alex Cora there discussing, really, again, the bigger picture. That no matter what it is, the Red Sox will be fine. And I generally think this is true with regard to 2019. And by the way, if you still have thoughts on the LCS, the World Series, the season as a whole, believe me, I will not turn you away because it was that kind of year. You're still feeling the euphoria from this season. You should, and you are happy to share it here if there's any particular thing you want to focus on. The one thing I ask you, stick to the games, stick to the series, stick to the plays and the decisions. We all have personal stories that go along with these sorts of happenings. And they mean something to you, but they don't mean something to most everyone else. So let's just keep it to the games. It's the one thing we all have in common, or the team, I should say, and the team specifically. As it relates to the Red Sox and their immediate future, the 2019 team looks pretty good. And I actually did a sort of a video summary of this, which you can find on our website at 985thesportshub.com. And then go to the Behind the Scenes blog, and it'll give you a breakdown sort of a Red Sox payroll and where they stand and all that stuff. You can get all the details there. But the obvious point here in the next year is that the Red Sox are going to have some significant contract issues to address. So I'm going to ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart. We're going to start with Chris Sale, because to me, that's the biggest one right now. And Chris Sale is up after next season. But we all know he wasn't himself in the playoffs. And certainly came out and gave them a hell of an inning to end that World Series, but Chris Sale was not himself. He wasn't really anything close to himself, and the reality is that Chris Sale usually isn't himself at the end of a season. Whether it's a result of injury or something else, he's not the same pitcher in August, September, and now October as he is in the early part of the year. The Red Sox tried to manage that this year. It worked a little better for a while, but then ultimately, Chris Sale could not go to the post in the second half. He just couldn't. And so today, Dave Dombrowski was asked about the plans for Chris Sale this winter regarding his shoulder and his overall health. Here's what he said.
Dave, hoping you might be able to provide some sort of update, anything you're willing to tell us and can tell us about the health of Chris Sale and what you expect regarding his health and recovery from whatever might have been ailing him down the course of this season over the next few months.
Really, what we've said about his past injury history is really all I can say. That is HIPAA law protected, but as far as we anticipate him to come to spring training, be 100%, and not without it with at this point, without any surgical procedures. We think everything that will take is just that will take care of it. It's just rest. So that's really where we are. But we don't anticipate anything from a surgical procedure whatsoever.
Okay, so look, I'm a cynic and I'm a skeptic. Okay, and I've been around people in sports way too long than to not examine the words and analyze them down to the nth degree. At this point, we don't anticipate. At this point, we don't anticipate any surgery. So I hear that, and I immediately say, well, they haven't ruled it out then either. So, which means they're going to watch him. And as it pertains to Chris Sale and his shoulder, and the part at the beginning when Dave Dombrowski says, well, you know, because of HIPAA, we really can't tell you any more than we've told you already. That raises more red flags for me. Now, privately, behind the scenes, I'm sure the Red Sox are telling their beat writers, look, here's what's going on. Most of the reports we read about Sale's shoulder described it as tendonitis. Now, I hear shoulder tendonitis, and I immediately start thinking of torn labrum, frayed rotator cuff, frayed labrum, whatever it is. But the cartilage and the rotator cuff in his shoulder, to me, there's some inflammation and damage to it. Now, does that mean he has to have surgery? No. What the Red Sox could do is exactly what they're doing now. He just needs rest. Every time he throws, the thing acts up a little bit, and it'll go away when he shuts it down. So my question then becomes, okay, well, I think this is the first time Chris Sale has ever had this sort of issue. So is he going to have it next year again? Is it going to come back? Because when he threw in August, it came back. And then they shut him down, and they eased him into it in September, and he was never the same guy. So what's going to happen next year? Is it going to start out okay, and then 3 months in, it's going to act up again? I don't think these are unrealistic questions to ask or unreasonable questions to ask, and I don't think that they are things that you should dismiss out of hand and say, oh, yeah, he's fine, don't worry, just the rest will be okay. We don't know. So I think the Red Sox are going to watch Sale. They're going to shut him down for a while, and he's going to start throwing. The other element I wonder with Sale is this. Is there a contractual element in it at all? He's up next year. He's got one more season. If he has surgery now, does he miss part of next year? Typically with a shoulder, you would. Even if it's just a labrum tear, and I say if, only if. That's like a six-month thing, I think. I'd have to double-check, but you're talking springtime before he's thrown again, and that might be just for a positional player. So with Sale, big questions. If I'm the Red Sox, and you tell me as a fan what you would do, but if I'm the Red Sox, I don't extend Chris Sale this offseason. Typically, when your ace pitcher at age 29 goes into the final year of his contract, you would approach him during that offseason and try to lock him up. At the latest, you would do it in spring training, which is what the Red Sox did with John Lester, albeit half-heartedly. What I would tell you at the end of the day is this. If Chris Sale is not signed, by the time he shows up in spring training next year, let me scratch that. If he's not signed by the end of spring training next year, I think the Red Sox are ready to let him play out the contract. And do not underestimate the impact of David Price's deal on Chris Sale. Are the Red Sox really going to have two pitchers earning $30 million? We touched on that last night. So I just don't think Sale's in a great spot, and it wouldn't surprise me if you asked me today, and this is not a prediction, but if you asked me today if we are headed towards Chris Sale's last year in a Red Sox uniform, my answer would be yes, unless they trade someone else or account for him some other way. And that might mean letting Rick Porcello go, maybe means letting Xander Bogaerts and Porcello go, whatever, you get the idea. We'll get to some other things too. The closer's role and the future of the team with regard to the minor leagues, Dave Dombrowski had an interesting comment today that I want to play for you as well. 617-779-0985. Tell you what, I'm going to go to two people here quickly because I think you both want to touch on the same thing. So I ask you just to get to the point fast. We'll start with Dan in Worcester. Go ahead, Dan.
What's going on, Tony? I just wondering, do you think they'd ever approach Chris Sale about converting their closer?
Okay, so that's Dan's point. And Ed in Kingston, I think, has a similar thought. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, so yeah, I mean, that's what I was ultimately going to get to is like maybe moving Chris Sale to close the position. But I mean, he's proven that he can't be a starter for an entire season. So it makes sense for at least to be like middle relief or closer. You know, I don't know. I just don't think that he can. He just hasn't proven to be a closer. Period.
Okay, so look, Ed, he's proven that he can be a starter for an entire year. What you said is inaccurate. What he's proven is that he can't pitch at the same high level the whole year. So he takes the ball in 2016 or 2017 rather. He took the ball for every start. There was no issue there. He took the ball every time. What we saw though was that he wasn't the same pitcher in August and September. And this is an important thing to recognize too. Now looking back, do you remember what the issue was at the end of 2017? Sale couldn't have two good starts in a row. He couldn't bounce back after a long outing. So he would have a good outing and then a bad outing. This year, it feels like that same problem got worse. So coming out of the All-Star break, they had to put him on the DL. And then what happened in the middle of August is he came off the DL and he pitched. And his shoulder flared up. So they had to put him back on. Then he came back in September and they had to baby him. Boy, did they ever have to baby him along the way. They babied him all the way into October. And then you know what happened? They started him. He tried to pitch more aggressively. And he didn't bounce back. So I don't know. There's a pattern there with Sale. And maybe there's just wear and tear on that shoulder. And as the year goes on, he's not the kind of guy that can get you through 32 starts and then another five in the playoffs. Maybe he's just not built for it. We'll continue with that discussion because to me, there was a caller son who dropped who said, maybe you just let him go. The end of next year, maybe you just let him go. Maybe it's that simple. I'd be eager to hear from fans on whether or not they agree with that sentiment. And we'll touch on the closer's role and what the Red Sox intend to do there when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We do think that we do have a situation where internally we'd have a couple candidates to do that. Barnes and Brazier are the top candidates. They're not Craig Kimbrell at this point of their careers. But I don't think we'd go into closer by committee approach. So if it wasn't Craig, it'd be either them or we'd have to see what other alternatives existed outside the organization.
Dave Dombrowski talking about the closer's role. Craig Kimbrell is obviously up. His contract's up. He's a free agent, or officially will be a free agent. I think it's on Monday that all these guys have to start filing. It's usually 1 week now after the World Series. It used to be 15 days. They cut that down. Baseball's offseason takes forever. Okay, it's another thing that baseball screws up, frankly. I'm irritated today, in case you can't tell. So baseball screws this up, too. Like, you know, it takes the offseason will start on Monday, which finally they get to it a little bit faster. I don't know why the filing period doesn't start the day after the World Series, but that's another story for another day. And then it lasts a week. Okay, like even the players who play, they know it's coming. Their agents can't file the paperwork for them. What's a big deal? Move your ass. Let's go. Okay, so that's one thing. But that aside, Kimbrel's a free agent. He's going to be out on the market. The Red Sox aren't bringing him back. If they do, they're stupid, and I don't think they're bringing him back. And I don't think they're stupid. So that's it. Kimbrel's gone. The question is, how do you fill it? And they have payroll issues already. The Red Sox have payroll issues. If they just keep their current group and let all their free agents go, and that includes Kimbrel, Eovaldi, Pierce, Joe Kelly, Ian Kinsler, and someone else I'm forgetting who's not that important. Okay, but if they just let those guys go, they're at $211 million. So if you want to sign Bryce Harper, you're in fantasy land. Not going to happen. And if you're at 211 and you want to go get a premium closer, You don't have a ton of money to spend if you want to stay under that second luxury tax threshold. So what are you going to do? Go give $15 million of it to a closer? I'm going on record now and telling you I like the idea of Brazier. I like Brazier as the closer. He's affordable, he's cheap, and he throws strikes. Okay, so can he do it? I don't know. But I like him over Barnes, and I would leave Barnes as the setup man. Then if you want to sign Kelly or something else, we'll figure that out. Let's go back to the calls. Dan's in a car. Dan, go.
Yeah, Tony, a couple pieces of irony. When Lester left, the rhetoric was we don't need an ace. As you pointed out, Chris Sale was our ace this year. We went through the postseason virtually without an ace. The other one is the closer by committee. Even though Kimbrel closed most of those games, it took a committee to get through both the eighth and the ninth. I find those two pieces ironic based on what the Red Sox have said and done in the past.
So, look, Dan, it's a fair point. I mean, that now you could, you know, you could sort of pick and say, well, okay, you didn't have an ace, but, boy, Evaldi sure pitched like one, didn't he? I mean, he sure pitched like one. And then in the World Series, Price pitched like one. And so maybe the point is, okay, well, you know, but you can get that from those guys. I would tell you that Evaldi is a rarity, and can he repeat it over the course of a full season? And Price is earning $31 million. So you did pay, you're paying ace money to Price. So I look, again, can it be done? Sure. In October, maybe. Yeah, maybe. With the way the game is managed now in October and it's managed differently, you can make it more of a sprint, right? The best way to phrase October to me is your innings have to go to your best pitchers. So if you have a deep rotation and those guys can pitch out of the bullpen, great. If you have a thin rotation and a deep bullpen and those guys can pitch every day, great. Whatever it is, your best pitchers have to get the key innings. Marty's in a car. Go ahead, Marty.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted your thoughts, Tony, on ownership. I mean, given the tremendous success they've had, and they had a bunch of turnover in the managers, they've had a bunch of turnover in general management, but with four World Series since the new ownership team took over, what do you think about them and why have they been so successful?
Okay, so Marty, look, the ownership group over there thinks I hate them, Henry in particular. I don't. I actually like Henry quite a bit. I think he's a good guy. I don't know Werner as well as I know Henry. Okay, so now I'll separate that part of it. What kind of job do I think they've done overall? Fabulous. Hasn't been perfect. The Red Sox should never finish last. So the Henry made sort of a crack the other day about, well, you know, maybe the model is that the team had finished first and last seven straight years, and maybe the model is that's the best way to do it. I disagree. That should never be an excuse for the Red Sox. The Red Sox should never finish last. Never. Not with their resources. They should be able to draft, develop, sign international free agents, and augment with free agency. They should be able to do that, and deep down, I think John Henry knows it too. Okay, so do I think overall... I don't want these guys to sell the team. They put money into it. They've invested in it. This team this year basically cost them $240 million. And we'll get the exact number later in the year when the luxury tax numbers come out. I don't want Henry to sell the team. It's been a bumpy ride at times. But overall, you can't be upset with this ownership group. Not with what they've invested in the team. Remember, if you go back to the mid-90s, or even the early 90s, the Red Sox, the Red Sox operated like a mid-market team back then. Mid-market. They're not mid-market. They're a big-market team. They make a fortune. And these guys put the money back into it. Give them credit for that. Mike's in Worcester. Mike, go.
Yeah, I agree with you. The ownership, I think they're willing to spend to win. And so I was wondering what you thought of, like, what a value would get this year on the free agent market, and I think they're set up pretty good to win. I mean, they can. They don't have to sign. I mean, Sale is already all set for next year for $15 million. That's a bargain, and they can sign him for the next year. And Porcello comes off, and Sandoval's money comes off, and so I think they can work it out. And
okay,
and
so Mike, stop before you throw too many things at me. Chris Sale is going to earn $15 million next year. Do you think the Red Sox want two starters making $30 million a year when they have David Price signed for four more years? Sorry. I thought he was gone. He didn't answer. I thought he was gone. That's the dilemma. It's not purely a budget equation. Yeah, you can let Porcello go and give the money to Sale. Absolutely. Now, it would help if you have pitchers coming up through the minor leagues, but you can absolutely do it that way. The question is, do you want to? Do you really want to invest $30 million a year in two left-handed starters in their 30s, one who couldn't pitch in the final 2 months this year because he had a bad shoulder? Like, that just doesn't feel prudent. And if you don't want to do that, the question then becomes, how do you replace him? How do you replace him? This brings us to our next topic with the Red Sox. Dave Dombrowski today addressed it. The player development operation, specifically as it pertains to the pitching staff. We'll play that sound for you and give you our thoughts on it after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think our development aspect is something we put on pitching. And I think we have some talented young individuals. And I'm excited because there's going to be a group of arms that hit the double-A level this year that we're excited about. And once you hit double-A, anything can happen. But we've got guys that we really like a great deal. And so they're getting closer to the big leagues.
Again, Dave Dombrowski in the press conference is over at Fenway today. The season wrap-up over there, talking about the Red Sox player development system. This might be the biggest question of the year. And again, if you go by the sort of the old, the old mantra that the season really starts today, November 1st. We played a cut-free at the beginning of the program where Alex Cora said, November 1, as a player, he always thought that this is when the season started. He started training and prepping for the next year on November 1st. That's what he did. And so this is when the Red Sox start making decisions, and the development of their minor league pitching, if they have any, is maybe the most important question of 2019. You need to see some of these guys develop. So you hear Dombrowski tell you there, well, you know, we get a bunch of guys going to double A that we like. Okay, great. And he says, you know, then anything can happen. To which I would say, well, right, anything, meaning, you know, and he's implying they could come to the big leagues and help. I would also tell you that they could flame out and be nothing. Double A is the big level. That's the big one. You don't know what you've got until you see it at double A. Okay? So the Red Sox need some of these pitchers to come through because they're committed to Price. Sale's going to be 30. He's going to want $30 million a year. He's got 1 year left, and he's coming off a shoulder issue. Rick Porcello's going to be a free agent. We're still waiting for Eduardo Rodriguez to develop, but the bottom line is you don't really have enough front-end pitching. You don't have it in the system. And it's also a way to control cost. Because if you have to go out and buy pitching, which is what the Red Sox had to do in the David Price situation, they were backed into a corner where they had no choice but to go out and pay an ace because they didn't have one. They had one in Lester, they let him go, and they didn't have anyone to replace him. That was the issue. So they had to pay through the nose for Price. If that happens again, you're screwed. Okay, you're pretty much screwed. You've got to develop your own pitching. Have to do it. Otherwise, the future of the franchise is not going to last long. Adam's in a car. Adam, go.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering about Sale's trade value. If things go south in negotiations, could it be something like John Lester's thing where they could just trade him for someone who's like a well-known player, possibly prospects? Kind of sounds like you want possible prospects. I might be wrong. I'll listen to you for what you have to say.
So, Adam, it's a reasonable question. It's a good question. I mean, but if you're going to trade Sale, I think you have to do it now, meaning in this offseason, and I don't know how much value there really is there with the shoulder in the 1 year. So, and when I say, don't get me wrong, see, you're going to get something for Sale. If the medicals check out, someone will take them and you get something pretty good. But that whoever gets him is also going to have to sign him, which means they're not going to give up as much for you or to you. So that becomes a little bit more of a complicated negotiation and situation. Now, if it were me and I were the Red Sox at this stage, here's what I would do. I'm not signing Sale right now. I'm not. I'm waiting till the year starts. I go into the regular season. I see how he looks. Now, obviously, they have more info than we do on the shoulder. But then I see how it goes during the course of the year. And the other thing is, you mentioned the John Lester situation. The Red Sox traded Lester in the middle of the year, but they were in last place. This team's not going to be in last place. It will return largely intact. The only real key guy you're going to lose from this team is Kimbrell. Now, Kimbrell, say what you want about Kimbrell, but he was the closer. You had some money invested there. And during the regular season, he had value for you. When I say the only key guy you're going to lose, who was with you at the beginning of last season? Eovaldi was added, Pierce was added, et cetera, et cetera. Even Kelly, I think you can get by that one. But, you know, Kimbrell makes it a little more complicated. The bullpen's going to need some work this offseason. Jim's in a truck. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Tony, how you doing? Great show. First time calling in. Hey, before I get to my point real quick, I just wanted to compliment Big Jim on the price talkings, I guess, on your other show. It's probably one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, yeah, no, Murray's with us here, too. Go ahead, Murray.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. I don't know how much they hold up now, considering he's made a lot of people eat crow, but...
I appreciate it, Jim.
Jim in a truck, I don't need
to... I just had a quick thing up for Drury. What's the possibility that he retires? Because if he retires, is that money free up, and is that more money the Sox can spend? Because I really don't see any value with him coming back.
Yeah, so retire, my answer would be no. I think Pedroia's got three more years left. Is it three more, Jimmy Stewart? Do you know off the top of your head?
That sounds right, it might be four.
Well, it's at least, I was going to say it's a two, but I think it's three. It's at least three. So if Pedroia were to retire, I think he effectively walks away from, like, I don't know what that is, 45, 50 million bucks. I mean, I don't have the year-by-year breakdown of his contract in front of me. Jimmy, do you know?
2019, 15 million, 2020, 13 million, 2021, 12 million, unrestricted free agent, 2022.
Okay, so that's 40 through 2021. So that's 40 million over the next 3 years. So if Dustin Pedroia retires, he walks away from 40 million. You think he's going to retire?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised if John Henry just wrote him the check for the money because he loves the player.
He ain't going anywhere. Cora was talking today at this whole exit meeting that if he's healthy, he's going to be leading off and is back in his old spot.
Well, so, right. Do you think?
I know it's if he's healthy.
No, do you think he's going to be healthy?
No, God, no. I think he's done.
So,
he's going to try. I mean, he is a tough SOB.
So I think Pedroia is probably done, too. I mean, it would not shock me if he doesn't play again. And I think deep down, the Red Sox know that. That microfracture surgery, that's bad news. Okay, that's bad news. So what I would say with regard to Pedroia is anything you get out of him here is gravy. Okay, it's gravy. Maybe he becomes a bench player. I have no idea what he's going to become. But if he can't play, you know what's going to happen? He'll sit on the disabled list for 3 years and cash the checks. Now, the Red Sox might be able to get some of that money back through insurance or what have you, but that doesn't solve the luxury tax problem. He's on the payroll for three more years. You're not going to get around that one. Okay? Let's go into my buddy Cam in Taunton. Cam, what do you got?
How's it going tonight, Tony? Matt, I just want to ask you a question. I mean, the day that they traded for Sale, you made it very clear. This is great, but hey, it's a three-year window. You got to win it. And they cashed in. So look, it was worth it in the end. But, I mean, do you fear that they're going to dip as much as the Tigers did when Dombrowski left? Because I was out in Detroit a month ago for the Pats game out there, and I said the name Dombrowski. It was like I was mentioning, you know, a warlord.
No, Voldemort.
Voldemort. It's like because the people out there despise the guy with the heat of a thousand suns because he ran their team to the ground and they become one of the worst teams in baseball. Do you fear the dip's going to be that bad?
So, I mean, I always fear that, Cam. I have a, you know... I have a hard time believing it'll get as bad as it did in Detroit because I think the Red Sox are overall have better ownership and it's a better operation. And the fact is that they've already won one more World Series than the Tigers did, right? So in that way, they're already ahead of it. But am I worried about the predicament they're in here beyond 2019 because of some of the contract issues they have? Yes, I am. And the fact that the player development system, you know, the farm system has been completely stripped down to fortify this team, yeah, I'm worried about it. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about it.
All right, I got to let him go. He's not talking into the phone anymore. Which brings me to this other item, by the way, on Dombrowski. And Jimmy Stewart and Jim Murray, I'd love your 2 cents on it if you have a minute. And that is that with Dombrowski, there was a story today, and there was a comment from John Henry, the owner of the team. I think Dave Dombrowski's going into the last year of his contract.
This is his last year, yes.
Okay, so 2019 is his last year.
Correct. Yeah.
Because he joined the team in 2015, is that right? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 5 years. And Henry is the one that brought this up that we also have to address Dave's situation based on the comments that I read. So let's say that Dombrowski has one more year left. You have to extend him right now, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I mean, typically with an executive, that's what you do. You don't make him go to the end of the deal because then you get Theo versus Larry Lucchino in 2005 all over again. Right? Then that just gets messy and it's forget it. No good. So how do you feel about extending Dombrowski, the two of you?
I mean, fine. I'm not pumped about it, but he was vindicated with this World Series, and it does feel like there is some sort of checks and balances system going on there with Tony La Russa also in the organization. So, yeah, I can live with that.
So would you give him another 4 years to make it a five-year contract?
Yeah, I would.
Jimmy Stewart?
Yuck. 4 years? I don't think so. I'd give him an extra one so that he's not in his drop year, but I would want the next guy to be groomed by Dombrowski because he's up there in age, I believe.
He's in his early 60s, I think.
Yeah, so you got to have the next guy ready to go, but I wouldn't give him anything more than one. So I'd have him for the next 2 years and hope that his protege, the next great GM, is right there in his shadow.
So what I would do is I'd give him two. I don't think he can give one. I think you got to give him more than that.
He wouldn't accept one.
I don't think he would. Yeah, I don't think he would.
We'll see you later. Thanks for destroying the farm system.
So, but the problem is, Jimmy, then where do you go? Like, who do you hire?
Right. Who's the young gun that's in the office there? Do we
bring Theo back?
Okay, so now, but again, what's his contract status? And, you know, are the Cubs going to let him out of it? Which I doubt. But now, if Theo were out there, I'd tell you to fire Dombrowski now. So the only question is that, you know, honestly, I'm not sure Dombrowski would take 2 years. I think he may look at that and say, screw you. I'll wait.
Well, he can. Take a walk then.
He can be. Again, he's been vindicated with this World Series win. You know, anyone that doubted him, myself included, he just won here. So, you know, where else are you really going to go? Who's the next young gun GM in Major League Baseball? The guy just won here. I think you'd want him here. And again, with La Russa here too, I feel better about that. You know, feels, you know, there's some cooks in the kitchen there, so it's not just him all by himself making these decisions, it feels like. So as long as he's still around, yeah, give him a 4-year deal to make it five overall.
See, Murray, I'm with you in that. I you know, I just don't think you have anywhere to go, and now you've got to reward the guy. I mean, you got to be fair at some point and say, well, you know, he did make some good moves this year. Pearson and Evaldi were good moves. Those are big moves. I don't love the idea of 4 more years of Dave Dombrowski at this stage. I mean, it might work. And I say 4 on top of next season, which brings it to 5 and puts you through 2023 or whatever the hell the number is. Like, that scares me because of how he operates. And I don't know if he can build an organization from the inside out.
No, I'm with you on that. Like, he can put a team together. That's obvious. But in terms of building from the ground up and building a farm system, no, that's not what he does.
So this is now one of the really important things for this team. They have a good nucleus at the big league level. We all know that. I mean, it's a good team. It's a great team. They won 108 games, 119 if you count the postseason. It's a great team. But are you going to be able to keep them all? And if you can't, even if you wanted to keep them all, I don't think you can financially. And then beyond that, that means that you have to have guys ready to go to replace the people that are here. How do you do that? You have to draft and develop or sign on the international marketplace and develop. You have to do that, and it feels like they are way, way behind in that area.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.